Casey.
Hey, Jacob.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
So what do an average guy who finds himself in a future inhabited by morons and a simple-minded American who participates in a high-risk spy operation have in common?
I don't know.
Well, let's find out, shall we? Because this week, I watched Idiocracy.
And this week, I watched The Man Who Knew Too Little.
And now it's time to make
The Movie Connection.
And here we go, beginning yet again. Here we go. Hi there, everybody. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, you know, in an effort to broaden our individual movie horizons and to just stay connected in general, we decided to connect over something we both really enjoy.
Movies!
Movies! And so every week we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before. And then we watch them, and then we sit down to discuss them and review them, and then we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two movies? Any sort of connection, dealio?
Any at all.
Anything.
Any little thing.
And the results have been pretty hilarious, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
You are in for a treat. And yeah, today, I mean, the theme this week, well, I mean, we're going to figure out the connections, the big ones, but I mean,
yes. This
was, the theme was lack of intelligence or,
yes. You
know,
ignorance is bliss.
I, for one, definitely felt like I knew what I was doing for once in my life. It's like, well, I'm not these guys, so
that's right,
and I'm not in this future, or what? Or am I? I look out the window and there's garbage everywhere. You know,
that's true.
Maya Rudolph looks the same. You know, corporations.
Yeah, she doesn't age.
Corporations own everything. I don't know. Maybe this isn't too far off. Awesome. So you've seen Idiocracy.
Yeah. I saw it the first time in like 2008 with Josh.
So pretty much right around when it came out then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, at the time it was this sort of stupid, funny, like you could chuckle because you could see a little bit of their inspiration. Now, rewatching it, though, it's a little bit more alarming, you know?
Right. Well, definitely, like, hits a little different.
For sure.
But you know what? Like, we're dancing around. Let's dive right into it, shall we?
So, yeah, let's jump into it.
Let's talk about some Idiocracy. Let me tell you about it, actually, because it was the movie you assigned me.
That's true.
All right. Gather around, everybody. In the year 2005, Mike Judge made a movie that imagined a future where America is ultimately run by corporations and inhabited by a society of idiot drones with a penchant for violence. At the time, this movie was labeled a satire and comedy. But even with such titles, the movie must have made the studio execs nervous because they did everything in their power to ensure that the movie be seen by as few people as possible.
Yeah.
Almost as if they were worried about offending the corporations of idiotic men in power by this satirical comedy's awareness of the truth. Weird. Anyway,
weird.
This movie, as I mentioned, takes place in the U.S. circa 2005, and the government decides to do something about the downward trend of intelligence in the world by placing a couple of average people into hibernation in an effort to preserve some wisdom for the future. But when the project is abruptly shut down, and the world is plunged into a dystopian, trash-filled future, Joe Bowers and Rita awake 500 years later. Back in time, Joe was truly average, content with getting out of the way for the rest of his life. But now he's finding out he might have what it takes to lead as he tries to navigate the future world where justice is served by having two obnoxious idiots curse at each other for a pompous judge, where water is replaced by a sports drink as the life-sustaining liquid resource, and rehabilitation is some insane arena deathmatch. With the help of Rita and his lawyer Frito, played by Dax Shepard, what the fuck, Joe seeks a time machine to return home where things make a bit more sense.
Yeah.
But only slightly.
Yeah, only slightly.
And I forgot to mention, it is Luke Wilson playing the lead, and then, yeah, we mentioned Maya Rudolph plays Rita.
I love her.
Yeah, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, this might have been the first thing I ever really saw her in, maybe?
This seems like the breakout role, if you will. Like, I mean, yeah. It didn't break out for anybody. It wasn't going to break out for anybody because, yeah, the studio execs didn't want anybody to see it. Did you read that? Like, yeah.
I did. And despite them not wanting it and kind of like trying to stomp it out, it still did really well later, right?
Right. You know, and I think it helps that this was peak, like, South Park Family Guy time. Totally. Because this definitely has that tone and definitely seems like it would appeal to that audience. Well, and it's directed by Mike Judge, who's responsible for King of the Hill. Were you a fan of King of the Hill?
Beavis and Butthead, too.
Beavis and Butthead, yep. And you definitely feel the Beavis and Butthead in this. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really watch King of the Hill too much, no. I was more of, like, Simpsons, like, kind of person.
Sure. Family Guy, from Family Guy. Family Guy, here. Yeah. Like, yeah. And, oh, my God, South Park. I mean, South Park is the great unifier, like...
Yes, totally.
Like, because they actually have some really smart things to say. I haven't checked it out in a long time. I feel like, you know, a lot of those comedy shows kind of just become repetitive at a certain point.
Yep, I agree.
And kind of, I think they're all guilty of it at this point. All of the ones we mentioned. I think Simpsons, Family Guy, yep, they've all kind of stagnated at this point. Where's our new adult animated show? Oh, yeah. Invincible. There we go.
Invincible. Love it.
Well, it kind of counts. Not quite comedic enough. I feel like that's mostly saying some deep stuff.
Yeah, it's not very funny.
Yeah. Great like show, it. Though. Great show,
it's
though.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's not very
not
funny.
Very funny. Kind of similar to how you have to laugh at this movie, where it's just like, this is funny, but it's kind of true at this point. What the fuck?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, she's going to sneeze. Oh, you didn't hear it, though. Wait, what
I
the
fuck? I muted myself.
Oh, you son of a...
My allergies are full storm right now because of the cottonwood that's like flying everywhere.
Yeah, it's the warm weather.
Yeah, this movie, it is weird, like especially seeing it back then and then seeing it. I've seen it a few times since then.
Right.
Because it's actually like quite rewatchable.
Yeah.
But it definitely is not as fun to watch post Trump.
Right.
As it was before, right? Because it really sort of does feel like this movie did, like, see things, like, they did see things about America that were going to, like, maybe go too far, and they have sort of gone too far. Maybe not to the extremes that we see on the movie, but, like...
Thankfully, like, and that kind of, like... That might be part of the rewatch value, is that it is just ridiculous enough where it's like, okay, like, I can laugh this off and everything like that.
Right.
It's so weird. It is such a unique tone, and I'm noticing that it is unique to this guy, this director, this creator, Mike Judge. So I don't know if you're familiar with his other movies, Office Space.
Office Space, yeah. You've
seen that one? Okay, good. It's kind of a cult classic. That might be his best one. And then this one, obviously, Idiocracy. Very popular, this one, I think.
Idiocracy is super popular.
Yeah. Especially for people that have seen it. Like, it is one of those that you kind of had to scrounge to find until now, where it's just kind of available everywhere.
Yeah.
It
is so weird because it's like there's just this group of people who have seen it, and some people haven't seen it, but like when you've seen it, it's very quotable too. Like, me and my friend Jeremy will always be like, give the plants what they want. Like, he gets out of Gatorade, I'll be like, give the plants what they want.
Nice.
You know? And so it is kind of like fun in that way to like, you just know when other people have seen it, kind of. And
yeah, for sure. I always get it confused with another movie called Evolution or something like that.
Me neither
still.
Damn.
But different, but maybe Luke Wilson was in it or something. Anywho.
Maybe.
And then Mike Judge, he also did this movie called Extract.
Haven't seen that either.
So that has Mila Kunis and, The Switch.
Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman, yes.
Love him.
Worth a look. I saw it in theaters, and this was when I could see movies for free and everything, though. And it was definitely, they consistently have this tone with Mike Judge that I've noticed. He's the kind of comedy that I shrug at, where it's just like, yeah, that's funny. But he really is kind of the blander version of South Park or Simpsons or any of those guys. Mm-hmm. He's just not quite as, whether it be offensive enough or like over the top enough, or like the laughs just don't hit me as hard as those other things. I do observe that he's funny and smart. Like, I think he knows what he's talking about. And I think he's on the good side. Like, I don't think he's like condoning any of this stuff.
Oh, for sure, no.
Like, right? Same. I get that off of Beavis and Butthead too. Like, Beavis and Butthead, I questioned actually. I was like, wait, is he like on the side of this? But no, I think he's firmly saying like, good God, look at our, good God, look at Gen X, like,
right?
And stuff like that. So it's weird. Like, I have like a respect for him, but he doesn't tickle my funny bone, just like some of those other comedy creatives do, you know?
Yeah, I definitely, and maybe I laughed more like the first few times I saw it, but like, it's hard for me to get a laugh in. Like, when I rewatched it for the podcast, I think it's just a little too relatable in that way to where I don't think it's as funny as I might have before.
Right.
There was a couple moments where I chuckled, but most of the time I was cringing.
Yeah.
Right? It's sort of that cringe comedy, kind of.
And some of it, because it is still going for that, like, yeah, it's offensive and, like, kind of that, yeah, that nihilistic type of humor. We're dropping, yeah, F-bombs and, yeah, well, all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. But, yeah. And, yeah, cringy, like... And it's like the look of it is definitely something to get used to, because it looks like most of it was done against a green screen or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it looks better than most, but it definitely had that feel where it's like, oh, you know, not quite there.
Yeah. And they definitely they tried really hard to look really futuristic. Right. And so like Crocs, they were like, oh, we're gonna get these shoes, because this was a startup company at the time, and they were like, nobody has these shoes, but by the time the movie aired, people were wearing those shoes.
Right.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah,
just like another way they kind of predicted something weird.
Yes. And like Google, I saw Google in the corner at one point. I was like, oh shit, like, wait, was Google a thing at this point? And I was like, it was sort of, but not it, like, just
not in
off.
The way that it is now. Yeah, it's so weird, because we use Google for everything. Yeah. I'm like afraid to say that word sometimes, because my phone is always listening, like, every, and it will just like stop and be like,
what do you
need, you know? Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Should we get into some Q&A?
Sure. And what the hell is Fuddruckers? I've never been to a Fuddruckers, I guess.
It's a bar restaurant.
Okay.
It's
pretty.
They have one in Vegas.
Dave and Buster's? But no entertainment stuff. Never mind.
Yeah. Right. It's like burgers. Yeah.
Red Robin. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Very famous, though. Very, very famous. Yeah. Just not really, like, over here.
Yeah, I guess. Sweet. Q&A me.
Q&A. What do you think the ultimate message they're trying to make about the future of America is in this film back in 2005 when they were, like, creating it?
Mm. I think it is ultimately a cautionary tale. It's mostly cashing in on the laughs that go along with, like, you know, I think they're going with trying to being as absurd as possible with this idea of, like, yeah, man, we're losing intelligence and stuff. So really taking that to the extreme. So, again, we talked about, like, trying to be this South Park-type humor. But I think ultimately, yeah, the message is, like, let's not be this, 'cause that would suck.
Yeah, I agree.
A cautionary tale. I think, too,
like, it really, intelligence obviously, like, plays a huge role, right? And they kind of hit on, like, less intelligent people not knowing, like, about reproductive rights, maybe.
Right.
And, like, conception, you know?
Yep.
And then, like, over-reproducing. So there's, like, that weird little bit there as well,
which could explain why a certain a certain party, like, has right? more power than we expect. It's like, oh, okay, yeah.
It is weird too, because when this movie was made, I personally, like, and it maybe it's just me and, like, the way that I've changed, right, but I feel like back then Republicans and Democrats, like, weren't that different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I felt like a lot of Republicans were people of, like, business and, like, people who had more money. But this movie really showcases them being, like,
yeah.
I mean, we can assume, right?
Yeah. Because
they never come out and say it, but we can assume that they sort of, like, are poking fun at, like, hick country.
Conservative, like.
Conservative. And now we're seeing that, like, a lot, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Which kind of leads me to my question. Do you see similarities between the Idiocracy politics and the politics that we have today?
Yeah, well, because it's all sensationalized, right? So they focus less on the media side, but, well, they touch on it a little bit when they when they show Fox News, which I liked that bit where, like, both of the anchors, like, you know, dude anchors just chiseled, like, no shirt, like, super hot, and then female anchors just got boobs for days and everything. Everything's sensationalized, everything has to be big. I love how when watching the TV, like, there's a whole border that is just ads, and then the screen that you actually watch the thing on is super small, because we're getting there.
Consumerism.
Sad. Commercialism. All of the isms.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all sensationalized and, like, super hyper violent. Like, that's what, like, the news is, like, seems to be flooded with nowadays, right? It's hard not to be discouraged. This tries to make light of it, but manages to do that pretty well, I suppose, but it's not as funny in real life.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah. So, some of it's pretty accurate to now. Yeah.
Yeah, some of it feels like when Terry Crews is president, too, and he's just, like, so if over only. The top.
Well, I take that back. Terry Crews has got some weird ideas. But anyway. seems like a better choice than somebody else. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So they use some pretty like bad language.
Yeah, the F-bombs.
The F-bombs,
Both
the
F-bomb. Like, I don't care about the
R-word.
other F-bombs. I'm talking about the F-bombs. But yeah.
Right. The gay slur
Yeah. Right.
and the mentally challenged slur.
Yes. Yes. Way too much R-word, yo.
Right. They use a lot of those. Do you think that they could have made their point about intellect without these words? Or do you think that they overuse them by the future people to show the ignorance during a time where people used these words constantly, like in real life? Because I feel like in the early 2000s, these words were utilized a lot,
Right.
right?
Yeah, that's where you get into murky waters with this stuff. It's like, because we can't go back in time and all the, well, we're trying now because now they edit this stuff. So
Right.
that's crappy. I don't feel like you should.
Right. Censorship
Right. And
can
like you
go too
said,
far.
like the fact that you're having a negative reaction to it is part of the point. Like, so it's good. Like, it's not like, yeah.
Right. That's kind of, you are describing exactly how I feel when I watch it now.
It sucks that it
And
makes
then
you
too, probably,
uncomfortable,
but.
but you know, and it's like now we are more conscious of it, so we are going to be getting less and less of those words and stuff nowadays. Now, does that say that now, yeah, are we going back on that? It's like, no, it's just a different time where it's like we don't need those words anymore because, yeah. The negative connotation, yeah, it doesn't fit anymore because, yeah, words change.
They do. They sure do. Who was your favorite famous person appearance? Famous now. Maybe they weren't all famous back then,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
'Cause we had like Terry Crews, we had Dax
Yeah,
Shepard, we
Dax, this feels
had
like a pretty early. I thought that Without a Paddle was his first thing. Wait, was with.
Justin Long,
Wait, was. Oh, yeah. Oh,
Native.
problematic appearance by Mr. Justin Long. And frankly, both him and Dax a little bit, because, I mean, Dax is called Frito. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And fortunately, he didn't do an offensive accent, so that's
Thank
something.
God.
Justin Long, on the other hand, kind of did. So. It's like, oh, Dax isn't doing the accent? Oh, okay. I'll do the accent.
I forgot Justin was in this movie.
That might be my favorite because I really liked seeing him. Yeah, that was a surprise. I was like, oh, who else are we gonna get in this thing? Yeah.
It is like a weird mashup of famous people, like maybe before they were really famous. It's
Yeah.
hard to remember, you
Yeah.
know, because that was like 15 years, you know, 16 years ago or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the other Wilson brother who you never see. Do you know the Beef Supreme is the other Wilson brother?
Right.
Yeah. So there's Luke,
Yeah.
Owen, and this fucking guy.
Exactly.
James Wilson, I think. Like.
He's somebody. He's a Wilson.
Doesn't look like any of them though. And
Isn't that
that's
weird?
kind of his thing. Like
But he does, like, you see him and you're like, oh, that
he's
guy.
got like the chill factor.
Yeah.
Funny. He like says
Awesome.
nothing, I think, the whole movie, if I remember. Like he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't,
Yeah.
yeah. It's time for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
What was your favorite scene?
Favorite scene. Probably the prison escape. Because it's so simple.
So funny.
Hi, I'm actually supposed to be getting out of jail today. You're in the wrong line, dumbass. God, man. And then, yeah, the other one's like, oh, no, you're not in here. It's like, oh, could you look again? And just exits right out the door.
Walks out.
So funny.
So funny.
So that is pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good one. What was your favorite quote?
Favorite quote. Do you really want to live in a world where you try to blow up the one person trying to help you? Yeah, let's not live in that world, because, yeah.
Can you imagine waking up and like being in that world? It would be so awful.
I would blend in immediately. It's like, yeah. Zombie apocalypse? They start looking at me weird when I'm not eating the other person. It's like, oh, fuck.
Shit, man.
No, anyway.
Favorite performance?
So, you know, I gotta say, this was hard to find because a lot of them, it just feels like they all just got better. And stuff. And it's just not a showcase of all of these actors' best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I went with Maya Rudolph just because now this is a way different role than what she usually does. And, like, she's putting on a voice and, like, certain stuff that's kind of eh. But that's part of why I liked it was because it's so different from Maya Rudolph now. Because now she wouldn't put on, like, well, she puts on some voices. But for the most part, Maya Rudolph can just use her natural voice.
She's just Maya Rudolph, yeah.
So, but her, and then honorable mention would definitely be Terry Crews. He was having a fun time.
Yeah, he really was.
And you could see it, and that was, yeah, that was cool. That was cute.
Cute. Super cute. Awesome. Would you rewatch and recommend?
Probably not. Like, not even, like, a strong recommend. I mean, I guess I would recommend to an extent. But again, it comes back to this director. Like, his stuff's just kind of bland to me. So it's like, I don't know what I'd really get out of rewatching it. And then recommending it, I feel like I'd rather recommend, like, Office Space or something like that.
Sure, sure. I think it's, like, one of those movies that you should see once.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then would you reboot it?
I mean, yeah, it couldn't hurt. Like, but we get a lot of, you know, we get a lot of these satirical social comedies now.
Yeah.
I think, I didn't put it on here, but maybe I should. Don't Look Up or whatever.
Haven't seen it, but.
Yeah, it seems like the new version of this, and that director seems like he's kind of dipping into this environment where it's like, world's crazy, right? Look how fucking dumb we are. Like, yeah. But being, like, darkly comic about it. But this movie itself, maybe not. So, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And then what would you rate it out of 5 stars?
I give it a 2.5.
You know? That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't think it was supposed to ever blow anyone's mind.
Sure.
I think it existed, like you kind of said, as almost a cautionary tale that was supposed to also be funny. But right. It is like a certain brand of funny.
Yeah. And what was interesting is that part of the writing credit goes to, I think it was Ethan Coen. Yeah, I think
it's Ethan. One of the Coen brothers.
Yeah, one of the Coen brothers, which I was trying to... I don't get a lot of Coen, like, maybe a little bit because of that Burn After Reading movie. You get a little political satire tone from them. But it's definitely all Mike Judge, like, in the tone at the end of the day. Like, it's, like, I'm not feeling no Coen brothers. Like, not quite elevated enough. Coen brothers would have added a little more class, just a tad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is definitely a... not classy movie, that's for sure. Yeah. Because even their main guy is like a very like average, ordinary Joe.
Yeah. Doesn't want to make waves.
Awesome. I think that was all I had.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. One movie down.
One down.
One to go. All right, Casey.
Also, I gotta say, I love how Costco gives out law degrees in that movie. That is probably my favorite part.
I love that Costco's featured at all. Like, cause yeah, that yeah. feels like, I don't think they have Costco's everywhere.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So that was kind of cool. One thing, it was like supposed to be a Gatorade type drink. It would totally be a fucking energy drink now though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like in the new version, like, yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Is marketed like Gatorade, though, because they're like, electrolytes, electrolytes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Totally.
All right, so tell me about this man.
The man who knew too little.
Yeah, that guy.
Wallace gets some money for his birthday, so he decides to visit his brother in England.
Yay.
His brother is happy to see him,
yeah.
But he has an important dinner, and he doesn't want Wallace there. So he gets him a ticket for an audience participation play-like game where he falls prey to mistaken identity.
Yeah.
He's mistaken for a hitman named Spencer. Some say ignorance is bliss, and that's certainly the case here because Wallace is completely unaware that the action around him is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cray.
Yeah, Wallace is like in a heap of a mess, man.
Yeah.
And he don't even know.
He don't even know. Does he ever figure it out? Well, you'll have to watch the movie to find out. No. He never does he? No.
He's the man who knew too little. I feel like by the end, his chica knows what's going on. I feel has figured out that he is ignorant. But in like through the movie, she kind of is just like confused because of the way he answers his questions.
Yeah.
She's like, I guess this is true.
It's so smart how they do that stuff though too.
Yes,
it's
just for
like,
sure.
Well, we're all acting in the theater of life, I mean. Like, you know. And she's like, yeah, that's really profound. It's like, you know. Yeah.
He's like, if we forget about the money, what do we have left? And she's like, nothing, I guess.
Well, fuck you, buddy. Like, yeah, and I don't blame her. Like, yeah, confusion, like, mistake. What do you call it? Comedy of errors.
Yes, totally.
Going on here. Yeah, my goodness. This is a fun one. Bill Murray, we've talked about him a little bit on the show. Mm-hmm. So, where does this rank in terms of Bill Murray performance for you?
I thought he did a great job. It was pretty fun. The pacing was really good. You know, hopped right along.
Just his performance, though. Stack this up against Garfield, Venkman from Ghostbusters, all right. Bob, okay.
From What About Bob? Yeah.
Who are your top three favorite Bill Murray characters? Not movies, just characters.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Because Bob's pretty great.
Oh, I lost you.
Oh, because Bob's pretty great. Right. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, we're good. Yeah. Bob is pretty great. I love him in Groundhog Day. Like, Groundhog Day is my number one.
Yes. Movie, probably. Yep. And yeah. That performance, that character, that's good. So that's, a fill. So
that would be number one.
Yeah, okay.
Bob
okay.
might be number two.
Yep.
But is Ghostbusters guy...
Venkman? Or no. Yeah, Venkman.
Yes. Probably number three.
Okay, cool.
I like Ghostbusters a lot.
And then you put, you're gonna put Wallace under those guys?
Yes, I think so.
Gotcha. Not quite there, but still a decent performance.
Decent performance, decent character. Funny.
Yeah. How dumb is Wally? Let's get to the bottom of this. I mean, the man who knew too little, he's kind of positioned to be like this low intelligence guy. But, I mean, I question, you know, how dumb is he, would you say?
So, I don't know if Wally is dumb or if he's just, like, so... gullible?
Right. Gullible. Yep. There is gullibility because there are moments where it's just like, yeah, because it can't just be naive.
He's naive. He's gullible. You know, maybe there's like a soft layer of dumbness, but like, I think he just like sees the good in everything, right? He's like, oh my God, look at these amazing actors. Like, he's like the guy from Friends who's like, I'm having the most wonderful day. Yeah. Everything's wonderful. Like, he's kind of like that, you know?
Right. Now, is he Joey level?
No.
Yeah. No. That's not... Yeah, no.
No, Joey can be really stupid sometimes.
Because
love Joey, though.
I often see... Because there's moments of kind of, like, intelligence or, you know, for Wallace where... That seem uncharacteristic for something where this movie like kind of feels like it's pushing like he's clueless, like, you know.
He is sort of clueless, but that doesn't mean he's dumb.
Right. Right.
He's almost childlike.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You know? Yeah, there's an innocence.
Yes.
Awesome. Good old Wally.
Good old Wally.
Wally. So this is based on a book.
Huh.
What the hell? Have you ever read a comedy book, or has a book made you laugh out loud? Like, it's so interesting that there are books out there made for the purpose of, like, comedy, I guess. You know, like, yeah.
I'm trying to think, because yes, like, but sometimes it's not in a comedy book. It's just, like, a book that has a funny moment. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So the question of, like, has a book made you laugh is, yeah, like, books can make
absolutely
you laugh. Like,
totally.
Laugh out loud, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've read, like, so many books at this point, and a lot of them on my Kindle or whatever, and sometimes I'd be just, like, writing the max and, like, laughing out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody around me is probably like, why is she laughing? And it's because I was reading a funny book.
Yeah, that's part
of
the
joy. You know, especially, like, by British authors, I feel like I always find a little bit more humorous.
Right.
And usually it is like they get themselves in a weird situation that is humorous in real life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But never read a comedy book. Cause I didn't realize that this is kind of a genre. Like,
I'm trying to think of like a comedy, like example of a comedy book,
so
you know?
There was this book by, I forget, Robert, London or something. Anyway. It was called The Road to Omaha, and it was, I'm reading the back of this, and it was a Western, which appealed to me, but it's like, oh, the zany adventures, like, oh, watch these guys, this ridiculousness. I was like, this is a whole book of just, like, comedy doings? Like, interesting that it's just so weird to think that, you know, genres like comedy, like, work for me in, like, a movie medium, but when it comes to a book, like, yeah, weird.
Yeah, and even when I Google book comedy books, it pulls up like books by comedians, like almost like biopic books, like the one from Tina Fey, Bossy Pants, which everybody thought was so great.
I guess it would have to be like satire books or something like that, because
something, yeah. But, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that's labeled as a funny, and I did think that book was funny.
It's pretty funny.
It's
pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever read, like, a straight comedy genre that wasn't, like a book written by a comedian, you know?
It's not exactly a genre I would probably seek, I don't think.
Now, that being said, I love rom-coms.
Yeah.
I love them in real life. I love them in book form. Sophie Kinsella is the British author I was talking about. She writes a lot of, like, Confessions of a Shopaholic, which is sort of like chick lit, but very funny, like very, very funny.
Right.
Things like that. But yeah, never like a straight I've never read like a straight comedy, but you're right. I enjoy watching them.
Yeah. It's not a book I would seek. Like, I don't seek a book for laughs, I guess. I'm like, yeah.
If it makes me laugh out loud, it gets an extra point, right. But like, I'm not seeking that out. You know what I mean?
Yep. I do. All right. What do you think about this theater of life concept? Would this work in real life? To an extent, we get this.
Right.
Reality shows.
Reality shows. There's sort of almost
jokers.
Like a what?
Impractical Jokers.
Right. There's sort of almost like an escape room quality to it, right? Mm-hmm. I thought about doing escape rooms, and like I've done some pretty immersive ones where the people around you are in character and you get a character that you're supposed to be.
Oh, that's
cool. So in that way, like sort of.
Yeah, that's
right?
Kind of cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I know.
Like
I've
on a larger scale, though, like it would, I mean, you're running into like, I mean, the release forms, like if you're talking about traversing a town.
So much work, man.
Yeah.
And like, there would be like to pull that off, there would have to be so much studying and stuff almost, you know, which maybe takes some of the fun out of it.
Right. Well, and it's like, it could be like you set this whole thing up and somebody's uncomfortable performing because it's really, catch 22. It's like, oh, they're not into it. Well, how do we proceed? Like, we've got this whole plan. Like, yeah.
Right.
Could fall apart.
I would definitely be the person that would probably like feel very, but if everybody is in it, yeah. I will be in it.
Right.
If like 50% of the people are like hesitant, I will join the hesitant crowd, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
It's because I really feed off of the energy around me. So if everybody is like taking it really seriously and being their character, then I will also then and not feel weird about it. But if like only half of the people are, I might feel a little bit weird.
Yeah.
I really want to do a murder mystery party. I've never done one before, but I think it would be super fun.
Interesting.
Mystery.
Have you ever gone to one? Like a dinner theater?
No, I have not. But I would like to. I think it would be an entertaining time.
Right.
I like shows.
Yeah. This is one of those comfort movies for me. So what makes a good comfort movie for you?
Well, my number one comfort movie is You've Got Mail.
Ah.
So there needs to be actors that maybe you really have fond memories of, right? So Bill Murray for you.
Actors that don't give you anxiety.
Right.
Johnny Depp.
No.
Kidding. Amber Heard. No.
There needs to be a plot line that doesn't have too much anxiety.
Yeah.
So in this case,
no kids dying.
Right. Nobody dies. Or if somebody's dead, it happened before the movie started. Right?
Sure.
I think that it has to be comfortable actors, comfortable plot, maybe something that's got like immense rewatchability.
Yeah.
For me, which this I feel one, like this does.
Yeah, for me, the comedy is so like innocent and like not offensive. Like there's no offensive like joke really to be found anywhere. And if there is, it like goes over your head or it comes and goes. That's a big part of it where it's just like this is just wholesome humor. Like, and this is just kind of pure like Bill Murray-ism, like family friendly Bill Murray almost.
Yeah. And it ages well.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like kind of important for rewatchability too.
Totes. Yeah, absolutely. And then you mentioned your favorite, which is, You've Got Mail.
Mine is You've Got Mail. Yep. Which like, if I'm like ill, that is the movie I put on the television. If I'm sad, that is the movie I put on the television. Like Josh has probably seen it more than any other movie he's ever watched with me. And he doesn't like to rewatch movies, but if I am stressed, You've Got Mail is on in the background. Yeah. Like it is a really comfort movie for me. Yeah, and if I'm sick, I actually feel better because I'm watching it. It's a little nuts.
Placebo effect.
Yeah,
I love
totally.
Meg Ryan is just
so good.
So underrated because, I mean, her behavior when the reaction to that garnish and then as he's talking, she's fucking, isn't she fishing it back onto the fucking.
That's right.
Brilliant. Like, come on.
So good.
Where's her Oscar? She has an Oscar, right?
I don't know.
Anyway.
So good, though.
I think it is time for our favorite questions.
Favorites.
So, Casey, tell me, what was your favorite performance in The Man Who Knew Too Little?
My favorite performance was Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obvious.
He definitely pours his soul into this, and he does a great job. A lot of people maybe would have messed up this character.
I don't know if they had anybody else in mind, like, and if so, like, they made the right choice.
Mm-hmm. And then my runner-up honorary mention would actually be Peter Gallagher.
Really?
He did pretty good. James. I like love that guy.
Yeah.
I know him from a bunch of things, obviously. New Girl, he's Schmidt's dad.
Yes. Yeah.
Love him. The OC, like he was a dad in the OC. Like,
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like familiar with him. And it's fun to see him in this kind of like younger role.
He does pretty good too. Like, yeah, he's pretty likable. Like, I'm glad that they don't make him like dislike his brother. Like, they actually like love each other. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And he even says like, yeah, like I want him to be here. Like, he was happy to see him.
Right.
He's like, the Germans, they don't think anything's funny.
Yep.
And my brother, like, you have to have a sense of humor around him, which there are people that you need to have a sense of humor around, you know?
For sure.
So it makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Good choice.
And he, like, goes for him and tries to find him when he thinks he's in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Good brother stuff.
Good brother. I loved seeing Alfred Molina in this. Like, I always forget, like, he's in this and he does awesome. And that's Doc Ock from the Spider-Man movies and everything. He plays Bill the Butcher. Russian guy, he does great. So with that in mind, favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the dancing Russian doll scene.
Ah, yes.
That was just like so good. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that whole entire sequence.
And
it was so good.
You wouldn't know it to look at it. Like, it almost looks like Bill Murray's just like, you know, didn't sit in on the dancing sessions and everything, but sure enough, like, they were practicing that thing for a good week. And he was like learning all the motions and everything. But, and it's so funny that he had to do that where he clearly has to look like he doesn't know what he's doing. So
that's so, so funny. Great. I love that.
Go through that. God, man, I get a kick out of when the cops pulled him over and shit. Like, basically, that whole thing has me rolling. Like,
yes.
When he's like, can I see your driver's license? And he's like, no, you may not!
That part is so good.
And, like, because then it cuts to the look on Bill Murray's face, and it's a very, like, yeah, that's right. I fucking said that shit. Like, I'm like, oh, my God.
So good.
That kills me. That whole thing just, oh, so good.
They're going around the roundabout. That was hilarious. Yeah,
I've always wanted to do that. Me too. Awesome. Favorite line of dialogue?
Please don't call me by my real name. It destroys the reality I'm trying to create. That's by Wallace. Wally.
Yes, while being interrogated.
Yes.
All the truth serum. I love... they just hitting people with pens. Because they're cheap and easy to use. Now, would you rewatch this or recommend it to your friends?
Why not? Yeah. I'd rewatch it. I'd recommend it. It's great.
It's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun, fun, fun one. Oh, and did you know that the actress is, that was Saoirse from Willow?
No.
Yeah, and also Val Kilmer's ex-wife. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
She's very British. And then should this get the reboot treatment?
I said, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think this could be interesting. Now it does kind of hinge on who you cast. So who you gonna pick, Casey? Who are you gonna pick?
I think maybe Jack Black for me.
Interesting. Jack Black. I mean, I've never seen The Holiday, but I mean, he is damn appealing in School of Rock.
The Holiday is so good.
Yeah,
and
he does have that ability to be, he's charming as hell when he wants to be.
For sure.
But it's also fucking hilarious when he wants
to be. He's so funny. The only thing I would worry about is him taking it just like a little too far.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's who he is, sort of. It's like this guy that kind of pushes the edge of like between like funny and dumb.
Yeah.
So it could end up being like not good.
Right,
but it
right,
also
right.
could be like super excellent.
What about... this would be interesting because maybe you would flip it and have it be a British guy in America and have Russell Brand be the Bill Murray
character.
Oh my
God. I love him. So that would work for me. I haven't seen him in anything in a long time. But he's great.
You all drive on the wrong side of the road here. I'm trying to be fuddled.
That would be a fun film. Yeah. I like it.
Or here we go. All right, we got a genre, or we got a gender bend everything, right?
Yeah.
So okay, Anna Faris. Yes.
Oh right. No, she.
She's
I love
done
her,
with
but
that.
She just like. I love her so much, but they would immediately put her into that dumb, like,
yeah,
nope. Like what they did with,
she can't do that anymore.
Scary Movie.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, you guys talk with such different voices here.
I do love her though.
Am I having a stroke? No. she's awesome. Cool. Yes. So reboot, definitely a strong contender. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
And then out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give The Man Who Knew Too Little?
I gave it a 3.5.
Nice. Solid. Yeah. Enjoyable.
Very enjoyable.
Heck yeah. I think that's a solid ranking. Awesome. So we have taken care of both movies. So now I think it's time to make the connection.
Let's do it.
Chess pawns. Clock. Matches. All physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight.
It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware of it.
Of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
All right, so what do you got?
All right. Both movies have opinions about Americans.
Yeah.
We see in The Man Who Knew Too Little, we see him checking in at customs.
Yeah.
And like that felt very American.
Yeah.
And then obviously Idiocracy is like a joke about America.
Yep.
One both movies. Yeah. Both movies have a kind of clueless lead.
Yeah.
A guy that's sort of fumbling through.
Right.
Both movies showcase an average guy who appears above average in their situation.
Yes, yeah.
And then we have the common theme of ignorance.
Yeah, it's bliss. Yeah, you kind of hit on all of the points. Both are fish-out-of-water stories where the main character finds themselves in a location with significant cultural differences,
yes.
Whether it be out of time or out of place. Both main characters are, like you said, or of average or below average intelligence who manage to be the hero for the day. And both leading ladies spend most of the movie lying or deceiving the main character.
Yes, yeah. That is true.
Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate for Maya Rudolph. See, this is what sucks, but it was more a reflection of the time and all this stuff. Maya Rudolph's character, yeah, isn't given a whole lot.
She didn't really get, like, a chance to develop.
Yeah.
Not that there was, like, a ton of developing to be done in that film, but, right. Yeah, she didn't get to showcase herself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's so funny.
Yes.
I would say, like, for both movies, that the men, like, need the women to get through it.
Yeah, right.
You know, the female leads to get through.
They're more incidental or, yeah. Yeah, just there. Sad. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, we get better characters these days. And both feature government military operations that go wrong.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Awesome. Well, there's the connections for ya.
Yeah.
And you know what? We got this new little segment we have here, just in case you are wondering, hey, I really loved one or both of these movies. You know, are there any other movies like this? Well, the answer is, oh, fuck yeah.
But look at this nice thing, though, we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
All right, so if you enjoyed the movie Idiocracy, you might enjoy... which we actually reviewed on this podcast last season? I think last season.
Mm-hmm.
Burn After Reading, which, it's kind of got that similar tone. It also deals with, like, Central Intelligence and stuff like that. And then Team America, World Police.
Nice. And if you enjoyed The Man Who Knew Too Little, You might enjoy Austin Powers.
Ah, nice. Any of them, yeah.
You might enjoy Game Night, which we reviewed in this podcast.
Yes, definitely.
And you might enjoy Johnny English.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep. Those are all solid. I love this. See, I love this segment. Yeah.
Me too. It's so fun.
Awesome. So that takes care of that. You know, if you really enjoyed what you heard here today, you can follow us on Instagram.
At the movie connection, all one word.
And you can follow us individually, me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Or you can, you know, do the thing where you send us an email. We always like to hear from you. And that's at.
MovieConnectionPodcast@gmail.com.
We got Facebook, all that good stuff. Hey, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts? Give us a rate and review. 5 stars is always most appreciated.
Share us with your friends.
That would be great. So recommendations, Casey, what do you got?
I'm recommending something I think you recommended once before.
Yeah, right.
Why Women Kill.
Oh, you're watching it. It's so
I
fucking good. Yeah.
binged through the first season
ah
in 2 days.
yes
it's so bingeable. It's so
solid
good.
cast, like Jillian or
Jennifer
Jennifer Goodwin,
Goodwin.
like what the fuck, like hello.
So Lucy Liu, like there's so many great actresses.
All of them did so freaking great. Alexandra Daddario.
Yes, and then her brother Matthew Daddario is in the second season.
Oh. I haven't seen the second season. I wasn't feeling it. So, yeah, tell me about season two.
Season two is good. It's really good, but it is very
It
different.
is, yeah.
So in that first season, part of what I think made it so magical was the storytelling between the 3 decades.
Yeah.
And in season two, we're promptly like stuck in the 40s,
Yeah,
which is
see?
fun.
Yep.
But yeah,
It
it's
felt.
not quite the same level of magic, but I am like hooked on the story.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give it a shot. It just did feel like it was a misstep because, yeah, I guess I thought that was going to be the gimmick, but you know what? Like, if they can make it work, they can make it work then.
And I
And
think they do. And
they
Nick
do.
Frost is in it. He's great in the second season. And we've got the lady from, oh my gosh, I can't remember her name and I feel bad, but she's the
Yeah.
queen from Once Upon a
Yes.
Time. She's in
Which
it and she's
she was
awesome.
great. Yep.
Yeah, it's good. I sort of hope if they decide to do a season three that they'll hop back on
Yeah.
the.
Oh, okay. You're like, you're feeling
Because,
it,
like,
but yeah.
the first season was just, I think because I had so many characters. I don't know. I just felt like you could connect to each one a little differently.
And like,
And
even if
this
it's
one
just
is like
two points of view, like I can understand maybe not being able to
to pull
do
off
three
the three.
again. That is tricky, but that was what they pulled it off so
It was
well.
magic, yeah. But season two is still great, and I definitely recommend giving it a watch. It's a really fun show.
Yeah, really fun. Like, holy shit. Yeah, really fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Really good writing. Yeah, and then I'm recommending. Oh, so I might have talked about I recorded an episode for this podcast I really enjoy called the After Lunch Podcast, and the episode just dropped, and it's about Dead Poets Society. We're gonna be
Hell
doing
yeah.
ongoing segment on high school movies, so definitely check that out wherever you listen to podcasts, and that's the After Lunch Podcast, and we talk about Dead Poets Society. Casey, I mean, I talked to you about this off the air, but you know what? You're on the spot now. It could have changed. Top three, like, high school movies. So these are movies that are about high school, the high school experience. Like, maybe not necessarily the movies that you just watched in high school, but you know what I mean. Like, and we've covered
Right.
movies like this. Like, Booksmart
Right.
qualifies. Like,
Right. I think Love, Simon is maybe my number one.
nice.
Love, Simon. I love Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good film. Third one.
Mean Girls. I mean, that's a
Mean
staple.
Girls. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
You also have to have something kind of funny in there, right? Because Perks is pretty serious and Love, Simon, while it's funny, like there's like a very serious underlying
Right.
tone.
Yeah.
And Mean Girls is just like pure enjoyment. That's another comfort movie for me that I'll actually watch sometimes just to get a good laugh
Yeah.
in.
Yeah, for sure. really good movie. Yeah, because these high school, it's gonna be a fun excursion, like revisiting these high school movies. Yeah. Awesome. So all of that's taken care of. Well, now I think it's time for the moment you've all been waiting for, where we assign each other's movies to watch for next week.
So, yeah.
Casey, you know, I'm going to have you watch a little movie called Dark Waters.
All right.
Never has there been a title more appropriate, because it is dark.
Right.
but it's hopeful.
Uh-huh. It is. Isn't that what you said about that one movie that was like 3 hours long and really depressing?
Magnolia.
Yeah, that was rough. If that this was... is happier than that, then I'll be fine.
That's pure unadulterated melodrama.
It was rough.
God, man, that movie, God, it just wanted you to feel sad.
I am gonna have you watch Pelican Brief.
Pelican Brief. This is a classic. Is this a 90s movie?
It is. Yeah. It sure is. And it's Julia Roberts. Awesome. Denzel Washington.
Great. And John Grisham.
I haven't watched this movie in a long time, but it's one that I remember watching with mom like multiple times when I was younger.
Damn.
So. I
did not know that. Okay, cool. Well, this will be great. We got Dark Waters and The Pelican Brief.
Woohoo!
Tune in next week. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a good one.
Bye!
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
So, we are all connected in the great circle of life.